Kim, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff, and Dane Neal is sitting in for Wendy Snyder. Wendy's fine, just taking a scheduled day off. She will be back on Monday. George Dorman joins us right now by way of the telephone. George is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. He's worked for the Huffington Post, Sports Illustrated, Los Angeles Times, and more. He wrote a piece that I read yesterday and loved for Huffington Post called Hooked for Life. George, thank you for being here. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good. All right. First of all, I just mentioned this. I read this piece, and I was spellbound by it. What a great job you did. Let's talk a little bit about that piece that ran in the Huffington Post yesterday, but you can still find it very easily, called Hooked for Life. And essentially what it is the marketing tactics that have been employed by the NFL to snare kids as young as 6 years old and make them kind of a fan for life, correct?
Yeah, there's sort of – the NFL is doing something that's unprecedented in the history of sort of sports, professional sports leagues. They are using tactics that, you know, big tobacco, fast food companies, you know, oil and gas companies, big coal have used over the years to get in front of kids, to persuade kids, and to persuade mom, you know, so that they can bolster their numbers of fans and players.
You know, immediately as I'm reading this, and you kind of, it kind of comes up in the article, the first thing that came to mind was at some point a tobacco company said, let's get a character, let's get Joe Cool. Now, this may appeal to current smokers, and it may not, but what it'll really do is it'll be like a beacon of light to kids to go, oh, look, there's a lovable cartoon camel, and he's smoking, and that hooks kids into their product. And the NFL's doing kind of something similar, right?
Yeah, they created a television show called Rush Zone. It's sort of this very ridiculous promotional device. I mean, they have these little things called rushers. They're these little creatures. They look like Oompa Loompas or something that they, and they have those in Happy Meals, and they have, you know, they put those things in schools, in lesson plans. So it's not dissimilar. I mean, these are marketing tactics that they didn't invent, but that they went out and grabbed from other, you know, corporations that sell a dangerous product and are employing.
Well, George, and I know it's sports entertainment. Is there like an age group? It's kind of a threshold you need to get past where if you can get the kid to be, you know, like smoking, they say, if you can make bad decisions in your teenage years, you'll be a smoker till you're 30 or 40 and decide to quit. Is there like an age group that they're looking at where they can show them something kind of bright and shiny and get them hooked by a certain point they'll be around for the duration?
Yes. So NFL knows this. They've done research on this. They know that the majority, vast majority of their diehard fans play at a young age or become fans at a young age. So they're looking at like 6 to 12 is their sweet spot. They want to get to kids 6 to 12. So, for example, you know, when they created a bunch of what are called sponsored education materials, which are, you know, sort of bad lesson plans that they get into schools, right, that say things like, here's a hypothesis, pick a winner of a football game and then watch the game if you were right, right? So, like, those things, they're going fourth graders and you know, though that elementary school age is where they're targeting kids.
And that sponsored contest had a huge payoff, didn't it? I mean, it was teaching kids how to gamble, but it had a huge payoff, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, they've been doing this. They're called SEMS, Sponsored Education Materials, and they've been doing it for years, and they are comedy. When you look at them, I mean, you know, like one of the final lessons is have a kitchen table tailgate party at your house with your parents and watch a game. And then your parents can quiz you with questions like, how many NFL teams have an animal as a mascot? Mm-hmm. Like, that is not a triumph of the scientific method. So, you know, this is what they do. And they have a fantasy football game for 6 to 12 year olds that forever was giving out huge cash prizes. So you'd have a kid who were rooting for Jay Cutler on Sunday because they were hoping to win that Xbox or that $1,000 weekly prize from the NFL.
Well, it's only been recently that there's been kind of an acknowledgement from the NFL that gambling is a big part of the sport. That's only been recent where they've said, like, well, yeah, you know, I guess that sort of matters in kind of the big picture of keeping it interesting for everybody. You know, the obligation to form team alliances has been kind of traditionally on the parents. You know, you'd say, like, hey, son, you know, you like the Bears, or let's go to the game and do all those kind of things. Do they care? You brought up that cartoon. Do they care how much they actually know how the game works? Football is kind of a complicated game. I'm surprised. You know, my wife's been a long time. We've watched so many games, and occasionally she'll say something like, is that good? where you're like, you really don't know how this game works. Right. Yet she's buying jerseys and watching. Do they care if people, if the kids end up knowing how the game works or just that they're fans and support it monetarily?
A little bit of both. You know, some of the education materials they've done have like primers for the teachers to, and they have to actually know how the game works to teach the game. So actually you have teachers who will be explaining to kids what INT means or TD means, or explaining to kids, you know, the rules of the game, like you get a first down after 10 yards, the field is 100 yards long. So they actually use those education materials to teach the basics of the game to kids who might have no interest at all in football, but they have to learn it if they want to get a good grade on the educational materials. So I think they do care about teaching the game. They just want you indoctrinated. And so if you only indoctrinate in their fantasy, their online virtual world where you can have fun and put up virtual things on your avatar, that's also getting it into your psyche.
George Dorman is our guest. He's written a magnificent piece for the Huffington Post called Hooked for Life that tells you in incredible detail how the NFL is doing everything they can to hook your 6 and 7 year old son or daughter and get them interested in the NFL, because if they hook you now, you're going to be a fan for life. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We'll discuss that next. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. Stay here. It's WGN. It's Bill Leff, and it's Dane Neal. Dane is sitting in for Wendy, who has the day off. We are talking with George Dorman. George is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who's worked for Huffington Post, Sports Illustrated, the LA Times, and a whole lot more. I urge you to read his piece, Hooked for Life, that talks about the clever, very inventive marketing scheme of the NFL to hook your children and make them fans forever. George, if you wouldn't mind, walk us through the marketing firm that they're using. This is a company called Brandissimo. What do we know about Brandissimo?
Yeah, what a great name, right?
Yeah.
It was started by a couple guys from Disney who had worked with Disney and done television and games and stuff for different corporations. And these people are experts on, you know, the way they bill it is they're experts at grabbing kids' attention across multiple platforms. So, you know, it was this sort of youth marketing agency, boutique agency out of Southern California, not the kind of ad agency you would think would be working with a big whale of a client like the NFL.
Yeah.
But the NFL went to them and got them, and they worked on some really sort of forward-thinking projects. You know, not just a website with little games and stuff on it. They did that. But also a virtual world where, you know, you could go, your kids could create an avatar and go to Seahawks land or Bears land and dress yourself up and interact with other fans or have chats with players where, of course, things like concussions would be mentioned. Mm-hmm. So they created this, you know, and then Brandissimo helped them promote the biggest one that we write about, which is a fantasy game, fantasy football game for kids. So it was this agency that, you know, brought the NFL's marketing efforts to kids sort of into the new millennium. It really went from, you know, hey, the usual suspects when it comes to, you know, to getting after kids, to going to where kids are, like a virtual world or online. And on television, creating a television show them on Nicktoons, going to where kids are and grabbing.
Well, you can see where they want to create specific roles for their future fans. One is, you know, a fan for the products and obviously watching, you know, attending the games, and also on the gambling side, the fantasy football side. The thing that's a little bit different is the participation. You kind of brought it up a little bit, and the NFL has not taken any kind of real ownership of the whole concussion thing, and that actually, and Bill, you mentioned the smoking thing, is that the activity that they're promoting is essentially hazardous for you. They do things like Play 60, which I think undeniably positive, get out there, run around, be active. But, you know, as a dad of a 10-year-old, I wouldn't, based on the information we have now, I wouldn't want him to play football,
right?
Because I'd be afraid of the injury. It's kind of like boxing was many, many, many years ago. Like, we love watching it, but you wouldn't want your kids to play. How do they deal with that part of it?
You know, they sort of muddy the waters is what they do. You know, I went to a mom's clinic. We went to a mom's clinic in Birmingham, Alabama. I went to a family football clinic. It was in Chicago, in Grant Park during draft weekend. And what you see there is a pitch that they make that is taking the information that we have and just muddying it a little bit. You know, they say things like, oh, you know, football's no more dangerous than riding a bike. That's what the data shows. Well, that's not true if you look at it closely. It's no more dangerous up until 10 if you include girls and boys in the pool of kids. But if you look at boys only, it's more dangerous. And after 10, it's more dangerous in terms of head trauma. So they don't tell you that, right? And then they used, like, emotional manipulation, emotional branding to change the discussion. Instead of saying, you know, is football safe, they say things like, are you going to stop your kid from pursuing his dream, right?
It's all in the wording, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is a tactic that marketers, clever marketers, have used for a long time. But it just feels really bad when you're there and you see somebody from the NFL making this pitch based on emotion and really muddying what we know about the dangers of football.
George, since your piece was published, Hooked for Life, have you had people say to you, hey, this is the way everything is marketed. There isn't a business anywhere that doesn't want to get somebody when they're young and hold them for their whole lives. Why is the NFL any different from any other business?
I think that's, yes, people have said that. And I was on Reddit right now because I'm doing a chat there, and people are saying it over and over again. How can you make that comparison?
Yeah.
It's just the way big businesses operate, right? And it's true. It is true. But no professional sports league is doing this. The NBA is not doing it. Major League Baseball is not doing it.
Because of ethics MLS. Or other, is there a reason they're not doing it? Or will they look at the NFL and say, boy, this is working really good for football. We should implement the same.
I don't think they have to do it because their sport is not, they're not selling a product that is that dangerous. I mean, there are dangers in every sport. But, you know, people will, the NFL will say things like the concussion risks are just the same in soccer. Well, that's just not true. When you look at the potential for brain, if you say instead of concussions, you say head trauma. DTE.
Yeah.
It is not true. So the others are not doing this because they're not faced with a product that is clearly dangerous, and they're not trying to sort of obfuscate what, you know, the truth is about their product. So I think if people want to say, look, the NFL is just like Big Tobacco or coal industry or Chevron or somebody like that, you know, McDonald's, they're not going to be wrong in that the marketing tactics and the way they're going after kids are very similar. I don't know that we've always thought of the NFL as being a corporation like those corporations.
You know, you wonder, and here's where you can kind of look at it, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is how much time, effort, energy, dollars are they paying towards coming up with those excuses or those studies that, hey, this is no more dangerous than riding a bike. Yes, if you just ride your bike into a wall. Like
right.
all the time,
yeah.
You know, that's the way that it is, because it's so weird to say it. I'm the biggest football fan that I know. So this is coming from a position of I love the sport. I watch the sport. I've been a fan my whole life. But you look at it. Yeah. Is that you've got to come up with some of these, I don't know, answers for the concerns that people would have in this day and age with the studies where they've got to spend time saying, oh, no, it's not this. And it reminds you of a little bit of that tobacco stuff. Remember, before they put those labels on, they had doctors come out and say, you know, before I do a heart surgery, I relax with a Lucky Strike. I mean, you mm-hmm. saw all of that stuff out there on the research end.
Yeah, no, I think you guys you're right on it. And I'm a huge football guy. You know, I went to Notre Dame. I played in high school. I mean, you know, it's been part of my life forever, and it has taken, you know, me and I'm sure a lot of people like us, you know, it sort of not by surprise, but it's been a hard adjustment for us to view the sport and things like the NFL or the NCAA in a new way. But I think that, you know, when I talk to, you know, former NFL players like Nate Jackson or Kyle Turley, you know, what they most want is they want the NFL to just come out and say it. Look, this is a really dangerous sport. And so now we're going to take big steps to help make sure that it is significantly less dangerous. You know, things like heads up football program and things like that, they look at those as just marketing devices. They say those are not making the game safer. And the data backs up that it's not making the game safer for kids. So you have to say, hey, look at, you know, just be honest. It's really dangerous, and let's protect kids as much as we can instead of trying to, you know, sort of slithers through.
You almost have to rip the Band-Aid off and just kind of do that, right? We understand that the sport is changing. Bill and I were talking off the air, you know, Super Bowl 1 and 2, the offensive lines were like regular size people. You know, they weren't, you know, 6'5", 350 yeah. pounds and giant size people. But I think in what do you think? They can't come out and just own it and move forward, because then they'll have to admit that they knew there was a problem, as opposed to we're fighting the fact that there might be. And then there's a lot of dollars, I guess, right, that need to be paid out at some point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one thing that they're doing that I think is really interesting is they are throwing a lot of money into NFL Flag and are promoting it and have done a really good job of making it available to cash-strapped recreational departments, they are pushing flag football, and more kids are playing flag football. You know, the way this is eventually going to go, if whether they want to admit it or not, in my opinion, is at some point here, we are going to have flag football for kids until high school. There will be no Pop Warner. There will be no, you know, what a peewee football. It's just simply too dangerous for kids that young age. So that's where I think, you know, even the concussion experts who are really harsh critics of the NFL say, hey, I'd be okay with that. If they stopped playing tackle football when they're 6, 10, 12, you know, and they just waited, I'd be okay with that. And I think that's where this is headed. It's going to take a while. That's where the head is. But the NFL would be smart to just fully embrace that idea.
George, really quickly, you mentioned McDonald's. I just want to point this out. McDonald's is without question the most successful fast food franchise in history. I remember a couple of years ago, they asked one of the top bigwigs over at McDonald's what was the best move McDonald's ever made, and they said the Happy Meal, for the simple reason is it got 4- and 5- and 6-year-old kids indoctrinated into the McDonald's world, and once they had them, just like the NFL, they never let go. So this is an unprecedented, but boy, the NFL is doing everything they can to win your kids over.
Including creating a Happy Meal.
Yeah.
The NFL had their television show, and they got a Happy Meal for their little NFL guys, their little rushers, and kids could go in and get. So yes, it's not unprecedented, but it is still kind of amazing to me how the NFL has chosen, you know, this script.
George, what a great piece. It's called Hooked for Life. You can find it on Huffington Post. You do a fine job over there. Keep up the good work, and thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
That's George Dorman, Huffington Post. Again, the article is called Hooked for Life.